98.5 FM.
You are tuned to the Wednesday Drive Show, brought to you by Salt District. My name is Andrew, and I have a very special guest with me in the studio today, Chloe Swarbrick. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Going very well, thanks. A glorious day here in Otatahi.
It is. I came here wearing a skivvy, and I had a jumper and a jacket. So I've had to strip a few layers off. I'm wearing just my offensive t-shirt now. It's not that offensive at all, but no, it gets a few looks.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have you here, Chloe. Of course, Green Party spokesperson for mental health, drug law reform, education, arts and heritage, tertiary education, small business, broadcasting, youth and local government.
Yeah.
So let's just say a number of those dovetail quite neatly, in fact, with us here at RDU.
Yeah.
So we'll have a bit of a chat, if that's all right, about those in the next couple of moments. But you've been very kind enough to select a few songs for us today.
I have.
So thank you so much for that. And let's swing into the first one of those. And that is from...
The Beths.
The Beths, indeed. From your your area, Auckland
Central.
It is.
They do. They live and record on Karangahape Road, and actually at their power station gig, which was just amazing and fantastic after we came out of the first lockdown in Auckland. Before we went into the second lockdown, I was at that gig and actually managed to get up on stage during, I can't remember the name of the song, but the one where Rose Matafeo does the train announcer.
Dying to Believe
in Orake. Yeah. Yeah, I then got up and did a little spiel, and it was a whole lot of fun. So, yeah, they're an incredible creative group of people.
Most definitely. And, in fact, they are playing a show right here in Christchurch on none other than Election Eve, the 16th of October. So
to get you riled up and excited. No, the Kaupapa is solid.
No better way, I think, to spend Election Eve. So this is the second single from their second album, Jump Rope Gazers, and it's called I'm Not Getting Excited.
It's a banger.
It sure is. It's RDU. It's 98.5 FM, and we're joined by Chloe Swarbrick. RDU 98.5 FM with Andrew. It is the Wednesday Drive Show, and it is not only with Andrew today, it's with Chloe Swarbrick for a few more minutes now.
Special guest
host. Indeed. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sorry to edge in.
Yeah. Hi, selecting a few of the tracks, and an absolute gem to start off from the Beths there, and we'll have a couple more from you in a few moments, Chloe. But of course, you are the spokesperson for the Greens Party for broadcasting and former host, producer on BFM's The Wire, our sister station. So big shouts to the Student Radio Network.
Love them.
And
Still carrying my BFM tote bag, I might add.
Oh, I've got time for that. It's excellent. Now, I was just going to simply, ask, how do you discover new music, and is radio still one of your choices? And do you see student radio as being an important thing and having a role? And then, of course, I have a little look at some Green Party policy and answers the question for me, really.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. I am our broadcasting spokesperson, so having that stuff in there was really important for me. But, yeah, I am a big fan of independent radio, particularly because it's provided space for young local artists to get a foot in the door. And, that's not just because I've got mates who are musicians. Yeah. But it's also when, particularly, in Auckland, we've had the depletion of physical spaces for bands to play. Like, the closure of the King's Arms was the thing that spurred me into running in 2016 for local government elections. So
yeah, I'm one from one. I saw Cordy Buddy at the King's Arms. It's one of my all-time favourite memories. So.
Oh, mate. I mean, I'm not sure I bumped into Amanda Palmer yesterday after... she's all about New Zealand.
She's spread it.
I was on the project, and she was actually saying that, she's played there with the Dresden Dolls two or three times as well.
So there's definitely still a role for public service broadcasting and student radio in... we like to think so, especially in the Spotify era. And, BFM, you're a big part of you. And is that still a go-to at home when you're just cruising around?
Time. Yeah. Being RNZ are my go-to. But I actually, speaking to the fact that I've got my B tote, I've also got, looking for some magnets for my fridge in my apartment. And I kind of put something up on my close friends on Instagram. And our old mate Tom from Radio 1 and Dunners sent me a bunch of Radio 1 stickers. So not stickers, magnets. So now it's like I've got chicken pox on my fridge. Just a lot of the Radio 1's magnets. But yeah, I think it's not only the fact that there is something really tangible and real about radio, like it's the OG podcast, right?
Oh,
but
absolutely.
It's also such a breeding ground for the broadcasters of tomorrow. And I would not be who I am if it wasn't the opportunity that I had to delve into issues and to research them and to hold politicians to account on B. I think we forget how connected we are and can be in this country.
Oh, that's absolutely. I mean, there's just the possibility of doing this interview in another part of the world is so minimal, and we're so grateful for that, really. So, of course, let's throw a broad one at you. Let's go really broad. Green Party politics and plans for furthering New Zealand contemporary popular music. What can
we
do?
Wow, yeah, that is a broad one. Yeah, I think, so, you know, you're speaking to policy. There's a few kind of things in there. Of course, there's a focus on independent journalism and radio. There's also a focus on places and spaces, so making sure that we actually protect them. I mean, the thing that closed or resulted in the King's Arms closing down, the kind of final nail in the coffin, was really poor planning regulation, which meant a cheap apartment block went up next door, and of course some folks complained about it. And there wasn't the support at a local government level in particular. So, I mean, I floated back then in 2016 the idea of there being a nightmare for the city, a nightmare or mere. That sounds like a nightmare. not the opposite of a dream, my friends. It is the exact embodiment of a dream.
Indeed.
And also, actually, within kind of local government legislation, there is the opportunity to place that as a real explicit focus and priority. But then you start, you know, dovetailing into other issues, like the fact that local government right now only really is able to increase its revenue by virtue of increasing rates. So there's the need to do things like revenue sharing and otherwise. But I also think that there's a place for the likes of PACE to come back, the artist benefit. And I've been lobbying over the past 3 years our Minister for Arts, Culture and Heritage, which also happens to be our Prime Minister. Quite difficult to get some time around the table there.
Busy person.
Yeah, totally. Mm. But, you know, that kind of also kicks into the things that the Greens are campaigning on this time around in terms of actually ensuring that everybody has a warm, dry home and a guaranteed minimum income. Those kind of things will enable our artists to flourish as well.
Absolutely. And the RDU listenership, let's go for more broad. Let's just go broad for a little while longer. We're a broad church. And, you know, critical and alternative thinkers, there isn't a definitive or typical RDU listener, I don't think.
They just listen to RDU. That's the defining feature.
Yeah. And that goes for all the SRN, I would believe. But, you know, why, aside from the obvious, is it important to have Greens representation? Because, you know, things are... How's the mood in the camp? Yesterday, a bit of an uptick with 6% or so in the polls. Do you guys follow that, or is it really just the one poll that matters? Or do you guys ride the wave of polling?
Yeah, not really. I don't think as a party that doesn't occupy the space of the two major parties that you can ride a wave of polling. We've never been able to take anything for granted, because the thing with the Greens, right, is that we always have another bold policy up our sleeves. And if we were paying attention to polls or focus grouping, or that's how we made our policy, then we'd be chasing our tails, as it seems the other parties are, to, you know, push each other over the edge about the fact that they're not going to do things.
Well,
such as tax.
I did kind of, sorry to sort of barge in, but I did kind of want to bring that up a bit, you know, like things, look, the inequality, it's painfully obvious it's only on the rise, and I'm just going off on my little soapbox here, so please do indulge me. The centrist approaches of the big two parties at the moment, they're not really dealing with that. They're falling over themselves to be in the middle, in my opinion. So it underlines the importance of Greens' involvement, so you guys have the Poverty Action Plan and progressive tax reform, looking at those issues straight on. And you could even argue that on the absolute opposite end of the spectrum, with, you know, terrifying Rogernomics and austerity, that at least ACT are sticking to their ideology, I suppose.
Well, the funny thing about ACT is that they do stick to one part of their ideology. But libertarianism, right? And this is interesting, because I actually flirted with the idea of libertarianism, fun fact about me, when I was in first year philosophy.
We're learning today.
Yeah, I read John Stuart Mill, and I was like, cool, utilitarianism, that's a go. But then I kind of read a little bit more, right? And I came to realise that actually to talk quite, you know, ardently about things like rights and freedoms is one thing. But if people do not have the economic freedom, then you do not have those social freedoms. You don't have something like choice, because that's a social construct which is also economically and environmentally constrained. So I think the thing about, and also I'd say, you know, it just look at the fact that on the cannabis referendum polls, ACT supporters are more inclined to be more conservative than New Zealand First supporters, which I think actually speaks to the fact that what you're seeing with a bump in ACT support is kind of a hemorrhaging from the National Party, and they're just looking for somebody who's going to protect money at all costs. So all of that stuff aside, I think that the reason that the Greens exist and the reason that I joined the Greens is because I wasn't particularly interested in, you know, being a rock star, climbing up the hierarchy, all of those kinds of things. It's because you want to fight tooth and nail for the things that you believe in. So that's why the Greens need to be there, because otherwise you're just fighting over an imaginary centre.
Absolutely. Well, if we may indulge your time for a few more moments,
please.
We are going to play another of your selections from Mellow Downs from Avondale. One goes back to 2017, I believe, produced by Backyard. So he's even mentored the next act we're going to play in a while to some extent. So I know you've been
Bronson's
a big fan.
Bronson's a sicko. I love him. he's doing now a show called Carve the Corner, which I'm on, which will come out soon.
Looking forward to it. So this is called Son of a Queen, produced by Backyard, and is by Mellow Downs. Selection 2 of 3 from Chloe Swarbrick here on RDU 98.5 FM. After this one, we're going to pop back with a couple more questions and then talk a little bit more about what you're up to this evening and ahead of the referendum and the election. This is Mellow Downs on RDU. RDU 98.5 FM Wednesday Drive Show with Andrew. And today, for a few more moments, Chloe Swarbrick. Thanks
co-host.
Again, Chloe. How are you going?
Moving on in.
It's awesome to have you on board. You can co-host any time here on the Salt District Wednesday Drive. So the way I'm going to phrase this next one probably indicates how I'm going to vote, but in that case, this is fine. So I think it's probably safe to say that at the moment, at least, you've been most in the public eye for the Cannabis Legislation and Control referendum. Now, every time that you seem to be debating, I should say, it's an emotional argument, whereas, you know, you sort of bother with things like facts and figures and to support harm reduction through regulation, just saying that. So rather than speaking about the referendum itself, I just wanted to ask, like, how do you actually manage to keep your cool? Because you get some pretty cooked stuff. One of my recent highlights was Nick Smith on Q&A. Yeah. So is that tough to do, and do you have a gut feel on which way that's going to go, or
The thing that frustrated me the most about that this past weekend on Q&A with Nick is that he actually also just grossly misrepresented facts, which I then didn't have the opportunity to respond to, given the tight time frame that we were in.
The turnaround and nature of life.
One of them was he said that only 2% of the general population use cannabis on a regular basis. That's incorrect. Based on Ministry of Health data, it's 11%. He also spoke about the psychoactive substances legislation, which his government screwed up, but also did a knee-jerk response and pulled everything off the shelves, pushing it underground. Kevin Haigh, the Green Party MP and health spokesperson at the time, was the only member of parliament to raise the red flag that this could actually potentially cause greater problems. But politics being what it is, the kind of chopping block came down and there was no nuance or complexity or consideration of evidence. So yeah, it is incredibly frustrating, and I guess that's why I've become somewhat infamous for and I get emails about it all the time, because some people really don't like the fact that I can't hide the way that I'm feeling about things. I don't have a great poker face.
It makes for some excellent meme material.
I can
though,
also
let's be
say,
fair.
Yeah, I think that the producers on television enjoy it, because it means that they get some good cutaways. You never know when you're actually on the television. So yeah, there's that. In terms of my gut feel about how it's going to go, I think it's going to be bloody tight. And it's a real interesting one, trying to figure out if COVID-19 and the lockdowns and just the stress and anxiety of 2020 is going to result in people being more or less compassionate, more or less community-minded. I think that there is the potential for a more conservative element to come out, where people just go batting down the hatches, we're going to keep everything the way it is, which is obviously the fear, obfuscation and doubt campaign.
But it would be
Nick
nice to think
running.
That we could, you know, turn
evolve.
This into something new and, you know, learn
totally.
From, learn lessons from this.
Well, I'm just kind of like, yeah, exactly. My hope is that we've actually learned a lot about community. I guess I have also seen the fact that, you know, you've got these kind of conservative politicians and the likes of Say Nope to Dope who have affiliated themselves. Well, the funniest thing about Say Nope to Dope is that the irony of their name, because what they're actually doing is saying yes to retention of the underground black markets and the strongest cannabis that they all seem to be concerned about. So I think that it's actually plausible that we end up with the closest referendum that we have since the alcohol prohibition referendum in the 1910s, when that only won by around 10,000 votes, and that was all the returning soldiers who actually skewed that back over the line. So my kind of call to action there is for people to realise how important their vote is, because the no voters are going to turn out.
I was going to say it's boring of me probably to be keep saying this, but it's just turn out. It's important. Yeah. Your vote counts. And that's the case no matter which side of that issue and any issue you fall on. Mm. The turning out's the most important thing, aren't they?
If all of the non-voters who are eligible to vote voted last election, there would have been 700,000 of them. That would have equated to a party vote which would have created the third most powerful party in our parliament with approximately 24 seats.
It's pretty compelling stuff.
It's not small fry, is it? And this is the thing, if you have a tendency to believe that you are, you know, too small to make a difference or whatever else, get 10 of your bloody mates together and just go down and realise that in doing so, you've had a massive effect.
Now, we were talking just off air about just how busy this campaign season is, of course. It goes without saying, really. But I find this awesome because you're friends with Tim Batt, I believe.
Yeah.
And you've also found time in your schedule to dabble and begin a little bit of stand-up.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Because I was going to ask about stage fright and nerves and that, but that's got to be nothing.
I was the most terrified that I have been ever when I did my first stand-up set. So I was had a really manic week, and then I said to Tim and jokingly to Leroy, who's my campaign manager, I really want to do a set at the stand-up gig that Tim had organised to fundraise for our campaign. And Leroy was like, "You're joking." And I was like, no, I've always wanted to do this. And I just, you know, kind of stayed busy. And then the day rolled around that the show was on, and Tim gave me a bell, and he was like, "Mate, are you serious about this?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I really want to do it." And he was like, "Okay, I need to come over." So he came over to my apartment and put the fear of God into me just about the methodology
like structure
that you approach.
And,
yeah, totally. Yeah. I was like, "You just get up and say funny stuff."
Pro.
Oh, he's incredible. Yeah. And we ended up spending 3 hours to come up with a 5-minute set. But I've now done about 5 sets in comedy. I did my last one last weekend at Whammy Bar off of Karangahape Road. And, yeah, I love it because it is so uncomfortable for me. It is so outside my comfort zone. I actually had another mate who's a comedian not too long ago. I was kind of asking her if she thought I was funny, and she was like, "Well, I mean, the stuff you say is kind of outrageous, but you emphasise the wrong parts. You try and emphasise the outrage and the action that people should take as opposed to the ludicrousness of our politics."
Is that the day job creeping through?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? It's just wild. It's all connected, mate.
That sure is. All right, well, we do have one last tune for you to play for us. And, of course, we were saying how busy you are. You've had a hectic day already today. You've been at Rollicking Gelato. I believe you've been at the uni.
Yeah.
But, of course, tonight, if you want to catch up with Chloe and delve into a few things in a bit of depth and throw back a couple of pints, we've got Politics and Pints, or maybe the other way around, I can't remember, Pints and
all
Politics at 12 Bar, which is of
both?
Course on St. Asaph Street tonight. So do get along, RSVP for that one through the Facebook, the Green, in fact, greens.org.nz.
Yep.
We might be at level one, but let's be safe.
Yeah, and it's on my Facebook page as well. But yeah, it's just a way of contract tracing.
So, you know, it's important to be safe, and do get along and have a yarn with Chloe. It's
totally.
Been such an honour to have you on the show today.
Oh, thanks,
cheers,
mate.
For co-hosting, and all the very best with everything coming forward. And this
I
is
miss
our
radio. I miss radio so much. This I'm just hanging out as much as I can.
Well, you know, there's a co-hosting gig here available.
You got it. Thank you so much, Andrew.
This is really or not by Church and AP. Thanks again, Chloe.
Main is.